relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Hey guys, as some of you know, we have just terminated our advertising contract with Surfshark.
Yes, we were made aware that they stopped advertising with the Post-Millennial because of some false allegations about their editor and our former guest, Andy Ngo.
As you know, as a team, we have made clear our support for free speech, and we will never advertise businesses that bow to the mob. It's just not going to happen.
Wow, that's how you deal with the woke karate. You just terminate them. That, of course, is Konstantin Kissin and Francis Foster, who, as far as I am concerned, have the best podcast outside of the United States. It's called Trigonometry, and we are delighted to have them with us. This is America First, one-on-one with KK and FF. Welcome back, guys, to America First.
It's great to be with you, Seb. Thanks for having us.
Hey, Seb. Lovely to be here, Seb.
You guys are crushing it. Whenever your show comes up on my feed, I watch it, I save it, and then I enjoy what you guys have to say. For those who are not familiar with trigonometry and who have been hiding in a cave for the last 3.5 years, I would love to give them a taste of your backstory, because I'm trying to think if there are similar podcasts out there with people of your background, and the answer is no. So let's start with you, Francis. Tell us a little bit about what you did before trigonometry for a living, and why you and KK are currently hosting Trigonometry.
Well, so with me, I was a school teacher for around 12 years. I did 6 years of high school. I did 6 years of primary school. And then overlapping that, I was a stand-up comedian. And before Trigonometry, I was doing the circuit. I was playing the comedy clubs up and down the country. And I was having a good time doing it. It was everything that I wanted to do. I loved being a stand-up comedian. I loved performing to crowds. Then around 2013 to 2014, I started to notice something change. And gradually, audiences became more and more sensitive. Not all audiences, but mainly audiences in inner London, in central London, particularly young people. I started to notice that jokes that used to do quite well, then you used to say certain words, and immediately you could feel the audience seize up. You could feel that there was a tension around an audience when you broach certain topics. It was just, even if you dealt with the topic in a very sensitive, a very fun, a very playful way, it didn't matter. You could feel the tension starting to come in. And then, obviously, everything exploded when Brexit happened, when Trump happened. Then a narrative came in that if you voted for Trump, if you voted for Brexit, you were stupid, thick, racist, white, all of these things, which they all lumped in together. And then that's when the real divisions happened in comedy. And that's when I saw comedy becoming more woke, becoming more liberal, becoming more intolerant. And it's progressed. And then obviously we are where we are now. So that is my story with regards to trigonometry. And by the way, we started it in 2018 as a reaction to all of that, because we saw what happened with Brexit, with Trump, and both Konstantin and I, with our backgrounds and with where we've lived, we know that that's not true. So we want to talk about what was happening, what was the real story, and getting away from the narrative.
We lost you there for a bit, but at the end of this evolution of the wokeism infecting comedy, you connected, Konstantin. Tell us why Trigonometry was born in your backstory.
Well, the one thing Francis didn't mention in detail there is his background, his family being from Venezuela. And my family, not just my family, I was born in the Soviet Union in the early 80s. And my grandmother was born in a gulag. The idea that, there are excesses to be had on the left and on the right is not new to me. And when I saw the intolerance starting to come through, and particularly, Seb, I think the thing that really bothers us is the collectivist nature of the ideas, which is very anti-American. It's not a thing that we particularly have in Britain, but America is something that we all look up to in some way. And this idea that the individual is sacred, your rights as an individual are sacred and are to be protected, seem to be being eroded, and people are being lumped into groups. And you no longer think for yourself as Dr. Sebastian Gorka. You are now a straight white man, and I am a Jewish man, and all of this. And that was just incredibly toxic and off-putting to me. And as a comedian like Francis worked in the circuit, I saw this coming through. You know, suddenly you saw these kids, 18, 20-year-olds going on stage talking about how guilty they are. And equally, you saw these other kids, simply because they had a little bit more melanin, talking about how they're oppressed. And I was like, this wasn't going on 10, 15 years ago. So all of that was the genesis of the show. But particularly, I think, with our backgrounds, we're very sensitive to what we see as illiberalism, authoritarianism, and this collectivism that is happening. Particularly on the left, there are elements of it on the right as well, which we abhor equally. But that is essentially the genesis of the show. The slogan of the show is honest conversations with fascinating people. And as you said yourself, this is where you get your worst ideas from, Sam.
Yes, I will now admit that. That is where I get my worst, most unpolitically correct ideas from. But share with our millions of listeners across the country that seminal moment that made you a household figure in the UK with the story of, it was a college gig, was it not, where you were going to do some stand-up comedy, Constantine, and there was some contractual requirement from the hosts?
Yeah, well, what actually happened is they invited me to help them raise money for charity. So they were asking me to donate my time. And then they sent me what they called a behavioral agreement form, which made me feel right back at home in the Soviet Union, which said that they had a zero tolerance policy on racism, sexism, classism, ageism, ableism, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, anti-racism. And it also said that all jokes must be respectful and kind. And as you rightly say, when I turned it down, I mean, all sorts of things happened. It was the second biggest news story in this country on the day that the then prime minister of this country was nearly removed from office by her own party. That would be the equivalent of Joe Biden nearly gets impeached by the Democrats. And the second biggest story on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, etc., is unknown comedian turns down a gig from unknown college, etc., etc. So it was absurd. It was a crazy thing to have happened. But I think, you know, that was one of the moments, and you played the clip of us talking about no longer advertising Surfshark. That was one of the moments when we really started to feel that standing up for principles was more important than immediate short-term gains. And that is really the approach we've tried to take with the show. We talk to people who are controversial, that have different opinions, left and right. And we're interested in the truth. We're not interested in partisanship. We're not interested in, are you on this side or on that side? We want to hear what you think. We want to have a conversation about it. And if you're wrong, that's great. There'll be people who come in and challenge that. And if you're right, even better.
Yeah, I have to say, look, neither of you call yourselves conservatives or you know, right wing. But let me therefore ask this question. Why does it take two stand-up comedians? What is it about you that you have the most honest podcast on political issues outside of the US, as far as I'm concerned? Is it truly, is there a univalent answer, Francis? Is it because of your family background? Can you give us a reason?
I think, Seb, it comes down that we're not beholden to any particular organization. And we are just two guys who started a YouTube show. And that's pretty much it. We are not aligned. We're not affiliated with anybody. We're not beholden to any organization. We don't have to answer to anyone. The only thing that we answer to is every time we do an episode, we think to ourselves, does this person, it doesn't matter about race, gender, we don't care about any of that. What we care about, does this person have something to offer? Does this person have something to offer the conversation? Now, Constantine could disagree with them. I could disagree with them. There, I have spoken to people who I disagree with on practically everything. But I am humble enough to realize that that doesn't mean that they don't have something to offer. And as a result, that's the one thing I think distinguishes us from everyone else. We have no interest in putting forward a narrative. We have no interest in platforming people who just subscribe to our political views. And we have no interest in lecturing people around the world what they could, should or shouldn't think. We just interview interesting people and we do what the mainstream media used to do. They don't anymore, by and large, which is treat our audience as adults. Let them make up their own minds.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, if you're not familiar with this podcast, you should be. It is one that I am super loyal to. When it pops up, really, I do either download it or watch it straight away. It's called Trigonometry. It's Constantine Kissin. It's Francis Foster. And by the way, I got to mention now before I get it, Constantine has written his first book, I believe. It is available for pre-order. It is called An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West. It's at Amazon. Regrettably, but right now you can pre-order it at Amazon.com, An Immigrant's Letter to the West. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us here for more One-on-One with the hosts of Trigonometry. We are coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's real, pain relief that works, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included, but not just me, people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. Shouldn't that be your story? It could be your story, but there's only one way to find out. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What are you waiting for? You deserve to know. You know it makes sense. Liberate yourself. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. You can now watch America First on TV, and I urge you to check us out. Go to salemnews.com or download the app today. You can also watch us on Roku and Fire Stick. That's Salem News Channel, the antidote to the lying legacy media. Welcome back to One on One with the hosts of my favorite foreign podcast, Trigonometry. Let's go back to that question. So, Constantine, is it because you don't have a narrative, like Francis said, that your podcast is so good, or can it be divorced from where you came from, where you were born?
Not for me, Seb. Not for me. You know. And I get very emotional when I talk about this, and it's sort of embarrassing. But when I think about my ancestors, people who died for the truth, for what they believed, people who died for the opportunity to even speak their mind, to say, I think what's happening in this country is right, or it's wrong, or it's whatever. You know, people gave their lives. Millions of people were persecuted in my country for doing this. So to me, I'm sorry, it's a sacred value. I will not compromise on that. And I will never... I will never allow the West to descend into this madness where we're supposed to pretend that things that aren't true are true and vice versa. We're supposed to pretend that you can just say a word and you change your sex or whatever. All this other nonsense that is being rammed down our throats. I will not stand for it. I'm not prepared to betray the people who came before me. And you talk about authenticity. You know, in some ways, you're right that outside the UK, we're one of the few people who are doing it. But we stand on the shoulders of giants. I mean, when I think about people like Joe Rogan over in America, this is what Joe's done. And he's the first to say it, that he's not necessarily the most well-educated person or the most intellectual or whatever. But what he does is he's mastered the art of authentic conversation. And that has been an inspiration for us, looking at other people who have that discussion, who are not scared to push back on their guests, but they don't do it artificially. They don't feel like they have to interrupt the person they're talking to every 3 seconds.
It's not the Kathy Newman, J.B. Peterson interview, right?
Quite. Exactly. So that's been our approach.
Yeah, look, I want to give you guys full recognition here in just the last few weeks. Joe Rogan and Ricky Gervais have both mentioned your podcast. So you are definitely on the radar screen of some of the biggest enemies of political correctness. So congrats to you. And let me, in front of all of my listeners and viewers, say this. I don't think I said this the last time you guys were on. It is really indicative of your authenticity or your lack of agenda that you had no issue when I contacted you guys, said I'm a big fan. Not long after that, you had me on the show as former deputy assistant to President Trump. So I think that is really an indication of just how honest you are, that you are open to all views. But it's hard to get the leftists to come on your show, isn't it?
It can be a challenge, yes. Not always, but yes, it can be more of a challenge. And the reason is, and I do have a certain amount of sympathy for them in this case, Seb, which is, if they appear on our show, then somebody will say to them, I can't believe you've appeared on that show. They've interviewed Nigel Farage. How could you do this? These people are practically Nazis.
They would risk getting cancelled, correct?
Yeah, they would risk being ostracized from their tribe, losing friends, getting kicked out of their circles, simply because they appeared on a show which conducted an interview with people like yourself or people like Nigel Farage. It is utterly, utterly ridiculous. And when that happens, society is in crisis. Because if you don't talk to people that you disagree with, number one, you're going to miss out on some valuable relationships. Because some of my best friends, even my partner, is someone who I disagree with politically. Number two, you will never, ever get the chance to challenge your own arguments and strengthen them. And number three, and more importantly than all of that, you're going to fail. You're not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to change your mind. You're going to become a less rounded human being.
In the midst of this cancel culture, how important is it, Constantine, that you know you have your distinct patter, you have the banter between the two of you, especially when you do your special Raw videos, but you open every single show with the welcome bigots and bigotesses. How important is it that you take the absurdity, the calumny, the smears of the woke extremists, and you just laugh at it in that Monty Python-esque absurdity? How important a technique is it not to apologize for authenticity and to just throw back at them the garbage?
Yeah, well, look, if we thought our audience were actually bigots, we wouldn't be doing that. But we're lucky now we're doing live shows. We get to meet people and we've got, you know, the Rainbow Coalition of gender critical feminists all the way through to right leaning conservatives and everybody in between. So we know who they are. They're good people and we love to do those shows. And it's a great pleasure to see what a diverse mix, genuinely diverse, not artificially diverse, actually diverse, people with different opinions, people with different backgrounds, all of that. So it is important to laugh, Seb. And, you know, if people are going to call a left-wing woman who just thinks a person with a penis shouldn't be in her bathroom a bigot as a society, well, I don't know what that word means anymore, right? So we've got to mock it. I just don't see any other choice. I think it's very important. And I'd add another thing to what Francis said about, you know, getting people on from the other side. You know what, Seb? After the election of Donald Trump in 2016, I was amazed by the reaction because Steve Bannon was doing the press tour. He was talking, and he would tell them, he'd go, look, this is what we did. We did this, and then we did that. And we focused on economic nationalism, and we said, let's just park all this other stuff. And all of these people who could be sitting there listening and going, this is how we defeat them. He's telling us how we can win. And instead, they just ignored it. That, to me, is just absurd. And that's why I think it's important to talk to people from all sides, including people you vehemently disagree with, because, hey, you might learn how to defeat them if you are on the other side. Learn. I mean, I know you're interested in the history of warfare and all of that. To me, that's such an obvious thing. Learn from your enemies if that's what they are. You've got to learn from everybody.
Well, there was a guy, I think, 2,500 years ago, what's his name? Oh, yeah, Sun Tzu, who actually said that. The most oft misquoted individual who didn't say to know your enemy is to win. It's know thyself and why you are fighting and know the enemy. But you know, both parts of that equation are essential, whether it's a political campaign or whether it's actual warfare. We talked to Francis Foster Constantkissin, the host of an amazing podcast called Trigonometry. Dear friends, we are just weeks away. Advent has started from Christmas. Let me ask you a very, very special favor. Every day here, I want you to think of those who are suffering out of no fault of their own this Christmas. There are more than a million children in America who have a father or a mother behind bars through no fault of their own. Every year we try and help them with the Angel Tree program. This is the Prison Fellowship, Chuck Colson's organization, that gets a Christmas present that you have donated, that you have paid for, to that child with a message of love from their incarcerated mother or father. Will you be that angel? Will you help spread joy this Christmas and break the cycle? Because more than 70% of these children end up in prison themselves. Let's get a message of love to all of them. Please make a donation. $25 is enough for one Christmas present. $100 is four children who will feel a little bit more love this Christmas. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner at the top. Donate as much as you can today. You may be literally saving a life and breaking that cycle. Or you can call them at 800-206-9764. That's 800-206-9764. Or just go to my website, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. And click on the Angel Tree Prison Fellowship banner at the very top, to change a Christmas for the better here in America this year. Back with Francis and Constantine after these messages. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code G-O-R-K-A, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code G-O-R-K-A also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
Welcome back to One-on-One with Francis Foster and Constantine Kissin. People forget, you know my story, guys. I was born in the UK. I was the child of refugees who escaped communism. My father was actually liberated from a communist prison after receiving a life sentence for resisting communism. The revolutionaries of 1956 liberated him. So for me, you know, I'm an American now. I've worked in the White House, but I'm truly one of these transatlantic individuals. And as a result, I see the rise of, you called it nationalist populism or economic nationalism a la Bannon, the rise of the Trump phenomena, Bolsonaro and everything that is related, really for me doesn't happen without Brexit. So when you had, what was it, 17 million Brits say, screw the socialists in Brussels, we want our independence back, we're leaving the EU. Could you give us an update for those who don't follow British politics closely? That amazing, you know, Dunkirk spirit, that bulldog spirit that brought Brexit, is it alive today, or has the, you know, the latest Delta Epsilon virus variant kind of created fear amongst those who wanted independence? Where are we at in the UK?
Well, this new variant, the omnivore variant or whatever it's called.
The moronic variant.
Whatever it is. Obviously, COVID has been the biggest issue that everyone's been talking about nonstop. And that has meant that actually a lot of important issues are going unnoticed, uncovered, undiscussed and undealt with. And Brexit did get delivered, as you know, by the way, Francis and I both voted Remain in that referendum, but we did think it was important for democracy to continue to respect the vote of the people. What we're seeing now, however, Seb, is that some of the promises that were made about Brexit, which one of them, of course, was key, was the ability to control immigration into the UK. That is not being delivered now. And that is going to be a big issue because we do have people continuing to stream into the country illegally, as you do in the United States on the southern border. And that will be an issue because it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem. We continue to have terrorist attacks, some of them committed by people who come here whose asylum claims are rejected, and they are allowed to stay in the country. They're allowed to blow things up, etc. So I would say that the people who campaigned for Brexit are going to be, in some part at least, disappointed because it's not delivered the things that they were promised.
Francis, is the working class indomitable spirit crushed by COVID? Where are we at? Is Brexit, is that spirit still alive?
I think it is still alive, Seb. I think the problem is it's becoming more and more apparent that our government aren't fit for purpose. They got a huge swathe of working class votes. And you look at what they've done. I mean, look, number one, they've been dealt a very difficult hand with COVID. Let's just all be very honest about that. But I think more and more people have become incredibly dissatisfied with this Tory government, the present Conservative government. And the thing that's worrying, particularly for me, is that you look at the Labour Party and they're even worse. So what we have is one inept government and an opposition that are even more inept, which means we're in a glorified one-party state. There is nobody at the moment who looks as if they've got any type of political vision, any type of, how can I put this, political identity. The two parties at the moment seem interchangeable. They don't have anybody who's got any vision. It's a quite depressing place to be politically.
And not only that, for those who aren't familiar, will you talk a little bit about how the police is being used to police thought and how you can get in trouble for posting the wrong meme in the UK?
Seb, I'll tell you this story because this I actually find quite upsetting. So my mother is a disabled woman. My father is elderly. He's her full-time carer. So they went to buy the shopping. This was in December 2019. They came back. My father walked into the house, disturbed a gang, robbing my parents' house. Very lucky. The guy literally ran past him. The robber jumped over the fence and ran out along with his accomplices, stealing all my mother's heirlooms from her mother, who has died. The only contact she has with them, took them. They called the police. Police came round. They looked around the house, went away. And by the time they went away, around about 10, 15 minutes later, he received an email saying the investigation into the break-in, in the robbery of my parents' house was officially closed. Gave them a crime reference number so they could claim on the insurance. Yet you now see that certain police authorities are investigating people because they make jokes on Twitter. The entire country seems to have been turned upside down. It's a nonsense.
Absolutely appalling. Do you do everything that you could do to ensure that you're healthy for your loved ones? Is your wife, your mother, your father, your children, your grandchildren, are they concerned that you're not the healthiest you could be? There are so many reasons to take balance of nature, but that's one of the reasons that I'm serious about it, because I'm serious about my personal responsibility for my health. You know you need to eat vegetables, you know you need to eat fruit, but very rarely do we eat enough. These six little capsules, three red for fruit, three green for vegetables, provide me with everything my body craves. 10 servings of 31 different fruits and fibers. Get serious, do it for your loved ones, and right now, Dr. Douglas Howard, the inventor, will give you 35% 20% off and free shipping on your first order. Use my name, G-O-R-K-A. Call 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
We're back one-on-one with the hosts of Trigonometry, Francis Foster and Konstantin Kissin. I have to ask this question. Given that this is the natural absurdity of identity politics, of the radicalism of social justice warriors, at some point, don't people just burn out of this? Don't they just wake up and say, this is insanity? What is your prognosis? Or have they cowed enough people to simply maintain a system where the so-called experts or the loudest people are in control? Francis, what's your expectation?
I think that the woke movement, you're going to continue to see it building. But the trans issue, and Konstantin says this a lot, and he's right when it comes to this, much as it pains me to say it, the trans issue is what's going to break this. Because, number one, it involves children. When you start to see children, prepubescent children, being given puberty blockers.
Or surgery.
Yes, and surgery. That is child abuse. It is as simple as that. And I'm a former teacher. Now, the reason that it's child abuse, it's very simple. Children can't consent to that. They can't consent because they have no concept of consequences. A child under the age of, I think it's something like 13 or 14, doesn't have any idea of consequences. They're not intellectually capable of doing that. They're not able of seeing into the future. So you are completely transforming a child's body simply because of something they say when they're 6, 7, or 8 years old. It is child abuse. The reason why we are not allowed to have sex with children is because children can't consent. And just in the way they can't consent to sexual intercourse, so they can't consent to having their bodies altered for the rest of their lives. Yeah, it's disgraceful.
Yeah, that's a very, very good connection you made there. And I think the transgender radicalism will break the back of wokeism. But you said it pains you to say that. Why does it pain you to pain you to say
it
that?
It pains him to agree with me, Seb. It pains him to admit that I'm right.
All right, Konstantin, is this going to
So basically what he did is stole one of my talking points and then said it pains him
well,
to do
so. Doesn't he do that with his jokes as well?
Yeah, pretty much. We steal each other's stuff all the time.
So Konstantin, is this going to burn out, or is the transgender going to make people who are otherwise deem themselves to be apolitical to just wake up and get engaged, like we're seeing here in America with all these mama bears at the school board meeting saying, this is wrong?
Look, I love the mama bears, and I think they've done a great job, and it's a pleasure to see people rejecting this form of neo-racism, which is just horrific to me as someone who genuinely thinks that people should be treated equally no matter where they come from or what their skin color is. It's great to see that. But I also have to say, Seb, that with what we've seen with the reaction to COVID is brought back that thing is that you should never underestimate stupid people in large numbers. And I'm afraid my natural optimism, which I always have about where this is going, has been tested somewhat by the last couple of years, really, particularly in this country, where we seem to be doing things that don't work, but harder in order to stop the things we didn't stop in the first place. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Look, I don't want to spend my life, Seb. I actually consider my life quite valuable. I don't want to spend my life talking about people with pink hair who thinks there's 1,000 genders. I want to actually talk to fascinating people about biology and psychology and evolution and all the stuff that I'm fascinated by. So I hope to God this wokeness ends. I am not optimistic that it will in the immediate.
All right, let me...
Seb, yeah. I'll just add something, which I think neatly sums up where we are. There is a program in the UK that you will know, your American viewers might not. It's called Question Time. It's the most important political program, debate program in the UK.
In front of an audience, you've got politicians, cultural figures, and they take questions from the host and from the audience. It's a seminal part of British TV, correct?
Correct. They had on that program Sir Robert Winston, one of our most eminent biologists, and he was asked about the trans question, and he said to them, biology is not negotiable. People, you are born either male or you are born female, and your sex is quite literally written into every cell of your body. Now, I may remind you, this is a man who is one of the most preeminent biologists in the world. The host, Fiona Bruce, looked at him and said the words, "There are some people who might disagree with you on that, Sir Robert."
There's some people who believe the Earth is flat as well.
Exactly, right. Exactly. But that's where we are. That's where we are. It's like inviting a physicist on, and then you've got somebody next to him who denies gravity exists.
Are you seeing the phenomena of the mama bears? Are you seeing otherwise apolitical people get engaged on this stuff?
Not yet, sir. But what we are seeing, I think, is a lot of people who would consider themselves moderates becoming more vocal about some of the things that they're saying. Because, look, when it's some kind of issue out there, far in the distance, it doesn't really affect you, it's one thing. When it starts being taught in your school and you start to find out about it, that's a whole different ballgame, really. I think we're fortunate to say that we're not quite as advanced as some of this madness in the UK as you guys are over there. But yeah, I mean, if they carry on with this, I think you will see more ordinary people pushing against it. I think some of the insanity of the way that COVID has been handled, I think has prompted a lot of sensible people left and right. By the way, this is an interesting thing. There are a lot of people on the left who are starting to see some of the ridiculousness of the reaction as well. So that's what we need, in my opinion. We need sensible, moderate people to get involved, to be sensible and moderate, not to go over the line, and just to lend their voice to the conversations that are being had, to challenging some of this craziness.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say as well, and we had one of the most brilliant conservative commentators, Douglas Murray, on our show, and he made the point, and it always struck home with me, that there is no end to progressivism. There is no end. This is going to keep happening, and things are going to get more ridiculous and more extreme until where we are is just completely divorced from reality. And that's what you're seeing with the trans debate.
Yeah.
I think everybody would say, you know, if somebody has gender dysphoria, that person should be helped, that person should be supportive. Very, very, very few people hate trans people. But when it comes to denial of biology and when it comes to women's spaces being invaded, I think the vast majority of people across the political spectrum, across every type of divide, would be like, hold on a second. And I think that's where we're getting to now.
Yeah, absolutely right, Douglas Murray. You know, when your mission, when your avowed mission is to perfect humankind, there can be no end. If you believe you can actually create paradise on Earth and engineer people, then there is no end in sight for the progressives. And once they have the, you know, Zuckerberg's metaverse, we're going to see a lot of people kind of jump ship and switch off and try and create their paradises there.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to One-on-One here on America First with Constantine Kissin and Francis Foster of Trigonometry. This is the question I ask all of my guests, because I invite people who stand up. I don't get in debates with people. I invite people who impress me and who are experts and who've actually shown themselves to have a spine. So tell our listeners why you did what you did and why the cost of what you did was okay, and why you can bear it, and why you will not be intimidated, and what your message is to those who are intimidated.
It's only once you've lost everything that you're free to do anything, sir. That's it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You know, when we started Trigonometry, I said to Francis on day one, people are going to call us names, people are going to attack us, people are going to misrepresent where we're coming from. And he didn't believe me, but it's all come true. Right. And the reason I knew it is we live in a society where speaking the truth is a very bad short-term strategy. But what we've also found through the work that we've done is it's a very good long-term strategy. If you do what is truly you, if you're authentic about what you believe, if you engage in good faith with people, you will be rewarded for it. And so all I say to those people is, look, what do you want your life to be about? Because life is a very short thing. And eventually we're all going to die. And all that's going to happen is you're going to go in the ground. They're going to throw some mud over you and then go and eat some food. Right now, what do you want to? That's it.
There's that's a very, very Russian answer. That could be straight out of Dostoevsky.
Yeah, it could be. But it's true. Right. Life is very short. And what do you want it to be about? Do you want it to be about conformity? Do you want it to be about taking the knee to something you don't believe in? Do you want it to be about lying every day about your actual opinions? Do you want to feel like a coward? Do you want to be, you know, trying to explain to your kids why you drink every night? Do you know what I mean? Just I couldn't live a life of inauthenticity, and that's why I did it. And maybe it's not for everybody, but I try to encourage people to think about, what is the purpose of your life? What do you want it to be about? And I think it's when you look at it from that perspective, the answer is actually much easier than you think.
Indeed. Francis?
I think it's a lot of it is to do with what Constance said, which is not wishing to be inauthentic, not wishing to live a life that where you have to say what is the general consensus. And and I think as well, the reason that I stood up to it is because I hate to see people demonized of any race, of any gender. And the way they were demonizing white men, and particularly white old men, when I think about people like my father, when I think about people like my grandfather who volunteered to fight the Nazis, I just wasn't going to have it anymore. There are times in your life where you have just to say enough. And that might mean that you might lose friends. It might mean that your career might be curtailed as a result. But I guarantee you this, you will never regret standing up. You will regret is not being honest. The times in my life where I haven't been honest, those are the moments I regret. The moments where I've stood up and said what I thought, even if things didn't work in the short term, I never regretted it.
These gentlemen don't compromise, and that's why they've got almost 250,000 followers today. Please listen to their podcast. Amazing guests, interesting people. It's called Trigonometry. They don't have an agenda. Well, except for the truth. Constantin Kissin, Francis Foster. The new book is An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West, and you can also subscribe to exclusive content at trigonometry.locals.com. God bless you both. Wherever you are, guys, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in. Thanks.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.